We heard the opening movement of the Sinfonia Concertante of Mozart. That was Rachel Barton Pine on the violin, Matthew Lippmann on the viola, and Sir Neville Mariner conducting the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. You're tuned to KRWG 90.7 Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. That music is going to be on the program this Sunday with the New Horizons Symphony Orchestra, their winter concert. And I am delighted to welcome into our studios today the conductor, our new conductor of the New Horizons Orchestra, Jorge Martinez Rios.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Welcome back, Jorge. And two of the soloists in the concert, Julio Campos, who will be playing the viola part in the work that we just heard, and Amalia Zeitlin, who will be playing the violin part. Now I have to do double full disclosure. I am the mother of Amalia, and I think this is the third time I'm having you on the radio, Amalia.
Yes, that's correct.
And I am an orchestra member in the orchestra, so Jorge is my conductor, and Julio's a friend. So conflict of interest. This is not a conflict of interest. This is a shared interest, the shared interest of music. And this concert, special opportunity for Julio and Amalia, who are both making their solo debuts with an orchestra on Sunday. So congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julio, let's start with you. You're the violist. And when this work was premiered, Mozart was the violist. He loved viola, even though he's much more famously known as a violinist and as a pianist. But you performed this for your master's recital recently.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. So why did you choose this piece for that? And that's what led to, and Amalia played it with you in your recital to do it with the orchestra.
Well, actually, I had studied this piece with Jorge previously and didn't really get a chance to perform the complete work. And when Amalia started her master's here at NMSU, there were talks about there being a concerto competition for NMSU, and I just approached her and asked her if she was interested in doing this piece of work for the competition. And that's kind of just what kickstarted this project of performing the piece and getting to know it really well.
And Amalia, you want to say something about this piece from your side?
Sure, yeah. So I heard this piece live for the first time at a music festival in Aruba, which was directed by Simon Goyo, who is also going to be featured in this concert. That's the first time that I'd heard it live, and Julio and I were at that festival together. So I think that we were both inspired together, and Julio had already worked on it a little bit before then. So when he approached me to play it with him, I was definitely interested. And the concerto competition didn't actually end up happening. It was canceled. Mm-hmm. But then Jorge gave us the opportunity to play it with New Horizons. So it's been very exciting leading up to this concert.
Can you talk about that process? The two of you practicing together and then how it changes when you get in front of an orchestra?
Sure. I mean, whenever it's just us two in the practice room or our rehearsal space, it's a pleasure to work with Amalia. It's a very relaxed environment. We aren't afraid to tell each other that, hey, we can do that better. That note was a little out of tune. To really just share our ideas. So in the rehearsal space, that's great. But once you're in front of an orchestra, you kind of have to throw away some of those ideas just to be heard. Especially as a violist, we are always fighting against a natural brilliance of the violin, always easily heard, but the viola has to work a little harder to actually project our sound. And it's kind of interesting, Mozart did write scordatura, indications for the viola, which is to tune the strings a half step up and actually play the piece in the key of D major, which would help with allowing for more open strings to be used in the piece, which allows for better resonance of the instrument, natural resonance, whereas in the key of E flat, there's almost no use of open strings and a lack of that natural resonance.
Yeah, it always, scordatura, it's a technical term, but yes, of tuning the instrument slightly differently, it also, going up, would bring out a little more of the brilliance of the viola.
Exactly.
Yeah, just a tiny bit. So this is a piece that goes through many emotions. We heard the very elegant, beautiful first movement just now, but the second movement has got to be some of the most sublime music that Mozart wrote. It's heartbreaking and gorgeous. Do you want to, and then the third movement is a very fast, upbeat presto again. So do you want to talk about, both of you, what the second movement means to you, what it feels like to play this music that really could make anybody weep?
It's pretty incredible to play the second movement in particular. It's my favorite. And I think my favorite moment in the whole piece is the cadenza of the second movement. And we've worked a lot on that cadenza to make it our own and to make it special and meaningful. So Mozart actually wrote this piece after returning from a tour of Europe, which he did with his mother, and she actually died during the tour. So he came back, and this was one of the first pieces that he wrote after her death. And you could really hear in the movement that grief that he was going through, especially it starts and ends in C minor. And the middle section is in E flat, and it feels more reminiscent and more comforting, like he's remembering some wonderful times with his mother. So for that reason as well, historically, it's a very, very meaningful and soulful movement.
We just have to remember that Mozart was very young, early 20s maybe, when his mother died.
It's incredible that you can really feel that he understood what sorrow was, especially in the second movement. It's it can get pretty philosophically sorrowful.
Yeah. You want to say anything more about that? What does that mean?
I think, well, losing a parent obviously is always very hard, a loved one. And I think the second movement just really brings out what sorrow is, especially in Mozart's case, just losing his mother at a young age. Well, back then, actually, I mean, 20 was pretty much half their lifespan, right? And Mozart died pretty young as well.
Well, he died very young. People lived longer than 40 at that point, but they didn't have antibiotics. So, I mean, the average lifespan was much younger,
right?
Because people died of what was now is totally preventable or curable diseases. But yes, if you got through those, you could live a longer life. But yeah, he died at, what, 35 or something like that. So he was more than halfway through his life when he wrote this, but he didn't know that. And then the ending is just joyful, fun,
right.
Fast,
yes.
Upbeat.
Yes,
so we go through everything there. So I just want to note that both Amalia Zeitlin and Julio Campos, who are making their debut on Sunday, are making their debut in their hometown. Both of you grew up here, had the benefit of some wonderful teachers studying music here. Julio, did you go to Las Cruces High School?
I did.
Also,
that's actually where I met Amalia. I was a senior in high school, and she had just begun. She was a freshman.
And both of you were in the orchestra with Jennifer Rogers.
Yes. Chamber Orchestra.
And it's wonderful that you've both chosen to come here for your master's degrees. I guess you were here for undergraduate and graduate?
I was. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Amalia came back here. So let's bring in Jorge Martinez now, who's going to be conducting this piece, who played it with the New Horizons Orchestra with Daniel Vega Albelo a few years ago as a soloist. Jorge, your thoughts about Mozart, and then we'll talk about some of the other program.
Well, I mean, this is a pearl in the repertoire for violin and viola, and it's really great that it's the only work, unfortunately, that we have from Mozart, and one of the reasons also we decided to play that piece with Julio is
the only work for violists.
yes,
is what you meant.
Is because, you know, we finished the classical concertos, and then you have the top concertos, Bartok, Walton, Hindemith, and there's really not a lot in between. And since Julio was doing really well, and we really needed him to assimilate the standard playing for classical music, that was it. And then we started to work on it, and I always told them, try to talk to Dr. Gabby, because I know she supports local musicians, and especially if they are doing really well, like Julio and Amalia are doing. And it will never be the same playing it with a piano in a recital than playing it with an orchestra. And please talk to her as soon as you can. But then she passed, and, you know, and I kept this idea, and I heard them playing it, and I knew they were sounding really, really well. And the opportunity presented, and that's how we decided to put all this together. And I think it's great to have, you know, people from our community that has seen them and heard them playing their instruments since they were little until now that they finished, and they are sounding really well. And I know every musician in the orchestra is enjoying listening to them playing at such great level.
Yeah. So I just want to mention, you were saying about Dr. Gabi, that was Dr. Mariana Gabi, who was for about 6 years, well, she was a conductor here in Las Cruces for 40-something years, and for the last six or so years for the New Horizons Orchestra, and yes, passed away earlier this year. And yes, she certainly was supporting young musicians a great deal, so you're following in her footsteps,
yes,
Jorge.
Yes, our mission.
Is this the first time you're conducting this piece?
It is the first time, actually.
So yes. What's it like going from knowing the viola part inside out and then being on the podium?
I remember that when I arrived to the conservatory in Morelia to study music, my viola teacher, Russian viola teacher who studied with David Oistrakh, asked me, "So what do you want to do in music?" And I said, "I want to be a conductor." And she was very angry, and she said, "You have to be a musician first so you can be a good conductor." And I think, you know, she was right. Because when you know the music, you deeply know the music, and you have played it before, you know exactly where the soloists are going to take time to make the music deeper, more beautiful. And you know exactly what it is to be on stage. So it makes the job a lot easier, and I hope I'm making, you know, they're playing also easy so that they are not struggling, rushing or slowing down. I know it's going pretty well, but it is a joy to conduct that piece.
Yeah, it's a joy to play in the orchestra, of course, especially knowing these two young musicians and seeing them launch from this point. I want to talk about the rest of the program, but I also want both of you to stay in the conversation because you may have things to say about some of the other pieces that we're going to be performing too. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm interviewing Jorge Martinez today, the conductor of the New Horizons Symphony Orchestra, also a viola professor here at New Mexico State and a member of La Catrina Quartet, and Julio Campos and Amalia Zeitlin, both master students here at New Mexico State in music performance. Is that correct?
Actually, I just finished this last December.
Right. Okay. And apparently you're a super expert on knowing metronome markings.
I suppose so.
Metronome Julio. I always joke that when he got his master's degree, then he just turned into a metronome. Because like he can listen to a recording and just know, okay, I think that's like 126. And then we'll check and it's usually correct.
Right on.
Pretty impressive.
They're consistent flukes.
That's a very...
I don't know about that.
That's a useful skill. In music,
yes. Because especially for conductors.
And definitely mm-hmm. for conductors, and I have noticed being at all these rehearsals, yeah, we were a little slower than what you were both used to playing at the beginning, and was you felt it was dragging a little bit, and we've sped up, and that's a process that mm-hmm. every soloist has to go through with the conductor and the orchestra.
Definitely,
yes. Jorge has mentioned to me plenty of times that whenever you first start working with an orchestra, you do have to make some compromises and just kind of make sure that you don't destroy the ensemble by being adamant about your tempos and just be very flexible and adapt. That's really important. And that's something I think both me and Amalia have been learning
right.
so far.
But then on the other hand, you can't adapt too much because you have to command authority and
right.
demand to be followed. So that's the other part of the struggle is that yes. we're used to playing chamber music. So there were moments where we were sort of conditioned to follow the orchestra. And then mm-hmm. Jorge was like, okay, don't follow the orchestra, let them follow you. But then we also make compromises as well. And it's really come together over the last
yes,
few weeks.
Definitely.
The concert is on Sunday at 3:00 at the Atkinson Recital Hall, and and there is no admission charge. All right, so in addition to the two of you being soloists, there is another soloist on the program, Simon Goyo, who you mentioned earlier. He is one of the violin professors here at New Mexico State, also with La Catrina. Mm-hmm. And he will be playing a couple of Romantic-era violin works, very famous. Jorge, let's talk about those for a moment.
Sure. He's playing two of the beloved pieces for violin. And so the first one he's going to play is the Massenet Thais
Meditation.
It's a piece in D major, and it's written Andante Religioso.
Yeah, well, let me just give a little background. So mm-hmm. it's a violin solo that actually comes in the midst of an orchestra.
Yes.
The midst of an opera, excuse me, the opera Thais. which tells the story of it's a religious kind of tale of spiritual journeying. And it's by Jules Massenet, as you say. And then there's this sort of reflective moment that Thais is having, and this beautiful 5-minute, 6-minute solo comes on to express everything that she's feeling. But it is heard, this meditation from Thais is heard way more than the opera is ever. It's just a gorgeous piece.
And I think we had a really great connection with Simon because, you know, he has such a convincing, beautiful version. And I think he does the Andante Religioso so well that it forces he invites every member of the orchestra to really, really be with him, you know, accompanying without rushing or slowing down. And so he does a really great job with this piece, and I know people will enjoy every second of it. The second piece he's playing is by Sarasate, Zigeunerweisen, Gypsy Airs. And, you know, this is another very popular piece for any violinist. Again, he has a really, really great version. It's really exciting how Sarasate writes this piece down. It's very slow from the very beginning. And at the same time, you can hear themes of Roma people. And then in the last section, you hear themes from Shardash. And also, there's actually a use of another theme that Franz Liszt used on his Rhapsody number 13, Hungarian Rhapsody number 13. So it's a really exciting piece. Towards the end, you know, you have Più Mosso, which is go faster, and then even faster. So we're still working on getting to the tempi that Simon Goyo wants to take. He talked to Mariana Gabi about these pieces, and he was already in the programming for this season. So it was great for me to know that I was going to be conducting my friend. And then when we were thinking about pieces around what he's playing as soloist, is when the Sinfonia Concertante by Mozart came in, and I thought that would be a really great thing to have, you know, our friend and professor at an MSU, but also our advanced students that are doing so well. So I think, you know, the audience will have a beautiful evening by attending our concert. We'll be starting it with L'Italiana in Algeri.
Yes, The Italian Girl in Algiers in English. It's music of Rossini, and it's a beautiful opener because it's everything that you want from Rossini. It's elegant and refined and then hilarious because he...
And very energetic, too.
Yes, because he's funny.
And we'll close the program with One of the Planets by English composer Gustav Holst. We're playing Mars, and it's titled God of War. And from the very beginning of the piece, you hear Collegno effect, which is, you know, using the bow.
You're playing on the wood of the bow.
Playing on the wood, and you hear this rhythm, ta-ta-ta-tan, tan, ta-ta-tan, ta-ta-ta-tan, tan. It's, you know, you hear the army, and then you have these scary solos with the bassoon and the trombones and the horns, you know, really ready to fight. But then, you know, the orchestration gets heavier and heavier, but you always have underneath this ostinato rhythm with the strings. And it's just a fascinating work. And we'll be closing the program with that. And again, people will enjoy everything that's going to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, I have to say, as a program goes, it covers every emotion in the pieces that are on this program, from upbeat and lively to that the tragic second movement of the Sinfonia of Mozart, and also the Thais, and then this really energetic, robust, yes.
And the orchestra is playing Mars. It so, so well. I am so proud of what they are accomplishing.
Well, I can't say thank you on behalf of the whole orchestra, but since I'm one little member of it, I will say thank you, Jorge. It's a pleasure to be working with you. Well, thank you all for coming in today. Julio, Amalia, anything you want to say something about any of the other pieces that are on the program, Zugoynerweisen or Thais? It's really more of a violin program than a viola program, or just this opportunity to make your debut in Las Cruces?
Yeah, it's a great program, and I'm really excited, and I'm sure Amalia is as well.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it's a very wholesome experience for me because I've been performing on that stage at Atkinson since I was in fourth grade, I think. I think my first performance there was with the Allstate Youth Choir. Yeah. Although I could be wrong, there could have been something earlier than that. And I've performed there at least once a year with various ensembles, LCSO, Las Cruces High School, Allstate, since then. So it's fitting for that to be the stage that I make my solo debut on and to be conducted by someone who's been a coach and a mentor for all of my master's degree, and for my mom to be in the orchestra is also really fun. So it's going to be a great concert, and I'm super excited.
So if you'll all indulge me, and also my listeners, Amalia used to have in her bio that she was at least the fourth generation violinist in the family, and my grandfather played as an amateur.
And of course, my father, Zvi Zeitlin,
was a wonderful and very well-known concert violinist, and today would have been his 96th birthday.
Wow.
And I think he would get such a kick. He died 6 years ago, Amalia, at 90, as you know, and playing till the last minute, performing and teaching. He'd get a kick out of the fact that I was in the back of the second violin section and had taken up violin again, which he'd encouraged me to do. And he would be very proud of you, and I am too.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to all of you.
Thank you, Laura.
And best of luck with the concert.
Thank you.